Alexander Snitker, libertarian, Republican, and political hack. And Adrian Wiley, born-again anarchist and political has-been. Banter, lather, and joke about current events while attempting to figure out whether to keep trying to salvage our constitutional republic or just stock up on marshmallows to roast on the smoldering embers of society. It's time for Unattended Baggage.
Why, thank you, Ledge. Hello, everyone in Podcastville or Internet Land or wherever you may reside. This is Alex, co-host, Unattended Baggage. Along with me is my radio life mate, the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Adrian Snitches Get Stitches Wiley. How are you doing, sir?
Yo.
Yo. Ayo.
I'm feeling kind of monosyllabic today.
Oh, I don't even, you know what it is? I don't even know what that word means, but I don't like it.
And why is there like an 8-syllable word to describe a 1-syllable word?
Hold on. It's like government made it up.
Right. Yeah. What the hell is that?
So what does that word mean for one?
1 syllable. Mono, one. Mm-hmm. Syllabic. Syllable, mm-hmm. Ick. Mm-hmm. You know, monosyllabic. So I said, yo. Jesus Christ, you've just blown the entire joke.
I'm sorry.
You just totally, you know.
I probably did, but I apologize.
You know, when from now on, when one of my jokes goes over your head, just pretend.
Just let it go.
Yeah, just pretend that you understand. I know like it happens all the time.
Hold on, like I do when I listen to Dennis Miller.
Yes. Yeah. Do that little fake laugh. Like,
Oh, yeah.
I got you. Yeah, I don't want anyone else to know.
It didn't happen all the time with Dennis Miller, but it did happen sometimes, though.
Oh, yeah. I like to pride myself on my vocabulary, but Dennis Miller would throw shit out that's like, what the hell? Is that
you got to look that shit up.
He made that up.
That ain't even a word.
He made that shit up.
That ain't even really a word, is it? Well, happy 40th, by the way, for the 40th episode that we are on Unattended Baggage.
Are you sure?
Yeah, episode 40. Last week was episode 39.
I thought last week was episode 38.
No, it was episode 39.
Episode 40. So what you're saying is the show is over the hill.
The big 4-0. Yeah. Well, no.
It's all downhill. Nah. I felt like that for a long time, that the show has just been all downhill, you know, so. No, seems like we're in about week 5 of downhill at this point.
No. It does. It's not that. No, it's not that. So I was driving here, though, and I wanted to give a positive thing, is that I saw the Greater Pasco County Corvette Club driving down the road somewhere.
Nice.
So
nice.
They were all out and about in their Corvettes and their little penises.
I'm betting that was non-essential business they were on.
Probably.
Yeah.
But, they were out. I just was driving down the road, and I saw them all going north, and I'm just like, it was such a nice, I was like, oh, nice. I'm glad. Glad to see
a little normalcy back in the world, you know?
Just some people saying, fuck it, like, you know.
There's a lot of that, yeah.
You're getting a lot more of that this week.
Oh, I tell you what, I was out on the road yesterday, and there was a almost normal amount of traffic. And being out on the road a week prior to that, where the roads were empty, I think people are starting to defy the order and just getting stir crazy, and they have to go do something.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, no, I think that's exactly what's going on.
Which
right
is
now.
A good thing. Mm-hmm. You know, that gives me a little bit of hope.
Oh, yeah.
But now it's like everybody's doubling down on it, and now they're coming out with this, oh, there's going to be the summer relapse, so we have to cancel 4th of July, too. Do you know all the cities are now canceling 4th of July? That's the latest thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I think that they're way overshooting. You're going to have people celebrating the 4th of July without them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And this is kind of good. This is kind of good, because I hope... I'm a little encouraged by that, because I hope that enough people go out in open defiance. And if you're listening to this show and you're one of those people who believes that, you know, the coronavirus is the worst danger we've ever faced and it's a doom and pandemic and blah, 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 we're not on the same page anymore at all. I'm so unconcerned about this virus at this point that, you know, I can't even think about that as an issue. But I am so glad to see that people are defying it. And that really gives me a little spark of hope, you know?
You know, here's the thing. I'm worrying about this virus as much as I'm worrying about the flu.
Yeah, yeah.
To mean that I don't normally worry about the flu.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, this is not that big of a deal. Like, the death rate is not that... Again, and we're going to get into the reasons as to why here.
Yeah.
There's one other thing I wanted to say, though, that I wanted to mention right now. And when we have this political upheaval, that I'm happy, at least that I think, that Chick-fil-A is just content with making the sandwiches. Because... Have you ever been through a Chick-fil-A line?
A drive-thru line?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the efficiency?
It is highly
of the Chick-fil-A drive-through line.
Well, they have to be because those lines get so long. Yeah. I drove by one the other day, and there, it was like, you know, there must have been 50 cars in line.
These people are geniuses when it comes to how to get through a line.
Right.
I'm just happy that I think that they're content with just making chicken sandwiches and not trying to take over the world.
That's funny because they're so efficient they can easily do it. That's what you're saying.
They might be able to. Yeah. It's kind of like if you ever go to Disney World and the thing is always nice, so nice and neat. I'm like, I'm fine that they just want to content. They just want to be in that little area and they don't want to take over everything.
Are you kidding me?
What do you mean?
Who do you think owns the world? Well, Disney.
Well, here's the thing: if they really own the world, then they would make it as neat as way it looks in Disney, though.
Well, yeah, that's true. That it actually would, God, that would be horrible. The entire planet would look like the Villages.
Like Pleasantville. Yeah. Well, they had that one. Be horrible. Have you ever been to the one Celebration Station or whatever it's called? Or Celebration it's called.
No.
It's the subdivision near Disney.
I've heard
Disney.
Of it. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that is without a doubt one of the creepiest places.
Yeah, it's like the Truman Show.
Yes, yes, yeah. It is. Very much so.
Yeah, I want to say I don't think I've been there because, yeah, that's honestly, that is more horrifying to me than, you know, I don't know, walking through the worst part of Detroit with a Rolex.
Yeah.
You know, seriously, I'm more creeped out by walking through a place like that than I would be in like the worst crime ridden ghetto in America. Yeah, you know, it just that's
fair enough.
Yeah, because at least I know, hey, I may get shot, but I'm not going to be like fucking Stepford Wife, Children of the Corn. You know, I can live with getting shot.
Well, because probably in there is probably some human sacrifice that's going on.
Oh, there's something, man. There's
like
something.
There's something that's really bad.
If
that's
you
underneath.
Need your outside world to be that perfect, you're hiding something.
You know? That's right. That's exactly right.
I don't trust people with really well manicured lawns sometimes. You know, what are you compensating for? What's going on? But
what's
know,
going on? In
what's
that
in
yard?
Your basement?
Yeah. What are you fertilizing that with, guy? Yeah, what are you fertilizing right. that with? So, okay, you had a story before we get into all the other stuff. You want go with your story first.
All right. Well, let's go with the story where my youngest son is staying with us now. He's a junior at UCF. Was a junior at UCF. Well, I guess he's still enrolled, but there's no school now. Everything's virtual, and really, it's just a joke because the virtual school is completely pass fail and passes an A. and really, it's like, you know, it doesn't seem like he's doing much of anything for school these days, but. So we went back basically because he has an apartment there, and it's one of those apartments where it's four people and each one has their own bedroom, bathroom, and then they share a central living room and kitchen.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, so he's moved out, school's closed, his, you know, job, he was working at a Panera Bread. Obviously that's nothing's going on there. so, you know, basically the strategic decision was to just go ahead and break his lease because it makes no sense to pay for an apartment that he's not going to be using, that really he can't use effectively and he can't pay for.
Yeah.
And we're not going to pay for it. So we went to clear out the rest of his stuff. And, you know, I've been telling him, I said, look, you have to understand that right now, 80% of the tenants there, because it's all college kids, it's all UCF kids,
yeah.
80% of the college kids there are doing the same thing. You know,
yeah.
And my wife is like, no, we should pay for it. We don't want to take the hit on our credit and, you know, all that stuff because we had to guarantee it. So anyway, we go there and we pack up the rest of his stuff. And I now have an empty keg in my garage, by the way.
Nice. You know? Fill that thing up.
All right. So we go to the rental office. And, of course, everything's locked up. The gym's locked up. The pool's locked up. All the common areas are locked up. The rental office is, the door is locked, but there's people inside there. So he knocks on the door, and the person inside looks over, and he just holds up his keys and jingles his keys in front of the glass door there, okay? And the guy holds up his finger like, wait a minute. And he comes back with a key surrender form. There, no words were exchanged. So by my son holding up his keys and just jingling them, the guy knew exactly what he was doing. He was voluntarily vacating, voluntarily surrendering his keys, and he came back with a clipboard and a form that said voluntary key surrender and an envelope to put it in the night deposit. There were no words exchanged.
Wow.
The guy opened the door, put the clipboard on the, you know, he stepped back, put the clipboard on the mat outside the door, went in and closed the door behind him, and that was it. So he filled out the key surrender form and put it in the slot. And that's how broken the economy is right now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? There was a, right now I saw a study out that it's estimated that 30% of the leases in the U.S. were broken this month. 30% of all the leases in the U.S. were broken.
Wow.
Well, and can you imagine in a college town where they close a college?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, that's got to be 80-90%.
At least 90.
Yeah, because most of those people are just going home. Very few of them, that's like their primary, their real residence. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, because if that's your real residence, if that's your primary residence, you don't have anywhere to go to, you're going to keep paying rent if you can.
Yeah.
You know, if you still have a job. But yeah, just crazy that it was normally, if you've ever been in the process like that, it's a hassle. It's a conversation. It's a, you know, it's a fight, you know, that sort of thing. This was just like he jingled his keys and it was like everybody knew exactly what was going to happen from there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? Craziness.
No, it's just what we're dealing with right now. I mean, you're going to have an economic reset here.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Reset's not the right word. Tear down is more appropriate.
But it's not because
we're bulldozing it and rebuilding it from scratch.
But it's not because of an underlying condition.
No.
It's
yes, it is. Yeah, it is and it isn't. The underlying condition, we've been screwed for a long time.
Well, yeah, but we didn't have to come due.
Well, here's the thing. If we hadn't done all the bad things that we've done for 100 years, then this event would not be nearly as big economically as it is.
Well, yeah, that's true.
You know what I'm saying?
No, that's true. That is
so
very, very true.
The difference is when you have a sound monetary policy and when you have true capitalism and a government that is, you know, actually doing what it's constitutionally bound to do only, then this crisis is much easier to weather. But
and it wouldn't have been a crisis. Well, here's the thing. It wouldn't have been a crisis.
Well, it still would have been bad. I mean, when the economic engine virtually stops completely, it's going to be bad.
But if you had a government that was only focused on the things that it needed to be focused on, that it wasn't focused on all this other stuff, that it was just, again, you have the CDC, the people that are worrying about these kind of events and weren't worrying about adventurism overseas or regulating everything to the freaking ground or doing all these other things. If you just had a government and again, they'd never do this. So let me just say that right off the bat. Again, go anarchy. I'm not trying to turn my Carlin card in.
Yeah, you don't have to sugarcoat it.
But if they were to just be focused on the things like that, when something like this comes around, you would have had the resources and the ability and the trust of the people in order to actually handle it.
Well, and if they actually followed the Constitution, they'd realize that they have no authority to tell people they can't go to work and go outside.
That's right.
You know, which they have no legal authority to do any of that.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. They can definitely...
They assume it.
You know what they can do? They can do the consumer reports thing or they can do the suggestion thing and say, look, we really want everybody to kind of, you know, distance from each other and things like that. Because if you look at the social distancing that happened in the businesses,
right.
Like, I don't know if you've seen this or not. You go to a, like, they got like...
I've been out a lot
marketing
this week.
Marketing signs about stay 6 feet away.
Like, they've got chalk marks on the floor, and
not a rule,
right? Yeah, exactly. That's not a rule, but people follow it. People respect it. I follow it. I respect it.
Here's the thing. I follow it.
I follow it. Yeah, that's probably a better way to put it. I don't know. I respect their right to do it.
Yes.
As a business.
Yes.
I respect their right to ask me to do that inside their business. So
correct.
That's more of it. I think it's stupid.
Yes.
You know?
And more people I'm talking to are getting more loud about it.
Oh, yeah. Well, hang on. I got to tell you another
right.
anecdote story I have regarding small business and non-essential business. So, and I'm going to change this up a little bit, so not to out anyone. But I went to a small shop locally that I've been to before. They sell a product, and it's a mom and pop shop, and I go in there and the open sign is off, but the door is open. Okay, so I open the door, stick my head in, say, hey, hello, anyone here, you know, and I get a shout for the back from the back, yeah, come on in. And so I start heading back all the way to the back of the shop, and the owner is back there, and it looks like he's hasn't changed clothes in a few days. And I'm like, so what's going on? Are you open for business? Can I be in here? He's like, well, no, technically I'm closed. We're supposed to be closed. But yeah, you know, if you need anything, he says, just do me a favor. Just wash up first. Go wash your hands and, you know, then, you know, everything's cool. So I go back to the like laundry tub that they have, like the utility tub that they have to wash up in. And in it, he's got a frying pan that was obviously just used to cook food. So he's like, oh, sorry, man, I just cooked myself something. So I moves it, I wash my hands in the utility thing. And he's like, yeah, I'm living here now. I'm not supposed to. It violates my lease, but, you know, I'm living here because I got a 90-year-old mother living with me at home. I don't, you know, I just don't want to infect her. And she says I'm nuts. She says she's, you know, I can't keep her from going to the grocery store, but, you know, I'm just doing it to be safe. So I'm like, oh, you know, that's fine. So we, I'm shopping for what I need, and we're talking. And I don't know this guy. I never met him before or anything. Okay, I've been in the shop once or twice, but, you know, I hadn't really talked with him before.
Yeah.
And so we get to talking about this whole thing, and we're like, yeah, this is absolutely crazy what they're doing. They're destroying the economy and all that. And, you know, so he starts saying, well, I'm going to get that PPP, you know, the Paycheck Protection Program.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, dude, it really depends on how you're structured to do that. I said, are you incorporated? He says, yeah, I'm an S corporation. I said, well, are you actually an employee of the corporation, or do you just pay yourself distributions? He says, I just pay myself distributions. I said, you're not eligible. You actually have to have payroll. He says, no. They said I don't have to do that. I went to Wells Fargo, and they said, you just need to provide your Form 941s and all that. And I'm like, well, dude, that's your quarterly payroll reporting. So, you know, he's like, hang on, let me get my tax returns. So, you know, he's showing me his tax. I don't think you can, you know, do what they say you're going to do. You can apply for the injury. My point is that's the world we live in today, where you can jingle your keys in front of the leasing office and they just hand you the surrender paperwork. And when you walk into a shop, you know, in a strip plaza, you find a guy living in the back and he's asking you how to fill out his government, you know, forms to keep his business alive, because, you know, in a couple of weeks that guy's closing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is not the kind of business that can weather. And that's what he's saying. He says, I'm thinking of just taking everything I have left and buying a motorhome, you know, and just, you know, being on the road and parking it somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, and this was a serious conversation with this guy. You know, and that's kind of what, when people talk about non-essential businesses, well, that business there might be non-essential to you, but it is absolutely essential to that man and his family.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you can't say there's no such thing as a non-essential business, because somebody depends on that business for their life and livelihood. And, you know, that's what I'm seeing everywhere I go. You know?
Yeah.
And I go a lot of places because, you know, fuck you. I'll spread this goddamn thing if I want to. Not really. I don't feel like that. I do take precautions. I wear masks when my clients ask me to and things like that. So, you know, I am respectful of other people's wishes, but I have absolutely zero fear of contracting this myself.
Yeah.
And again, like I've said before, I think I already had it. So,
you know, and I've learned something new this week. I learned something this week. And what I've learned this week is there's a new word for lying.
And that is?
That is adjusting the numbers downward.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
Here's the thing. This Fauci guy
mm-hmm.
should either be fired for being bad at his job or shot because he's evil. And I don't even know which one it is yet.
Right.
But when they did the original projections, when they put out these projections of 100,000 to 200,000 people that were going to die, and that was with all the things that we put into place.
Right.
That number was based off of that number.
Right.
To come back now and to do a press conference to say that it's only going to be 60,000, or that the models are projecting now 60,000, you lied. Now, again, did you lie because you don't know what you're doing, or do you lie because you do know what you're doing?
Yeah, that is the question that I keep having. I honestly don't know, because both scenarios are plausible. Whether this is some planned conspiracy where a bunch of people in a smoky room said, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to put out a real virus that's kind of bad, but we're going to make it sound like it's the worst thing ever so that we can accomplish this, 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 and this. You know what I'm saying? Either that happened, or this is just the, you know, the culmination of the idiocracy where we have just gotten so stupid now that we can't think anything through and we react completely emotionally to everything, which is a distinct possibility. And so this just became a snowball of overreaction and irrational fear, and everybody got sucked into it. And I honestly don't know whether it is a conspiracy or just a, you know, the new normal for our inability to think rationally and adjust our brains to, you know, the scale of things.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. What they tell you all the time is that you need to believe the scientists, right? You need to believe the experts, right?
Right.
Well, here's the thing. Recently, the experts did lie already to us. They've been caught lying about the masks.
Right.
These were medical professionals, scientists,
yeah,
that utilized their position of power and authority to outright lie to the general public.
And, you know, the minute I heard that, and I didn't care because I thought the virus was, you know, who cares from the get-go. It's, you know, but the minute I heard them saying that the masks will do nothing, I'm like, well, how is that even possible? Because, you know, if you cough, if you sneeze, those aerosolized particles of spittle, your favorite word,
mm-hmm,
are going to be, the majority of them are going to be blocked by the masks. So it may not be a perfect solution, obviously, but yes, absolutely, wearing a mask would reduce the ability of the virus to transmit. I mean, so I didn't understand when they said that initially. I guess I thought that they were saying that it's not a perfect solution because it's not a completely sealed apparatus with a appropriate virus filter, or it's not a self-contained breathing apparatus, or, and that's all true. But, you know, in my mind, just thinking about it, well, yeah, if you wear a mask, you're probably reducing the likelihood of spreading it by 90% or something, maybe more.
Yeah.
You know? So, that made no sense from the get-go, but yet, this, exactly, you're right. The scientists said it, and we have to believe the scientists.
Oh, yeah. It's,
you know,
it's like the Me Too movement. You got to believe all the women. You got to believe all the women. You got to believe all the scientists.
Right, yeah.
You know?
And that's...
Unless they're Joe Biden, and he's running for office. He didn't really say... He needs the benefit of the doubt in a trial if he actually sexually harassed that woman.
All right, you know, stop what I mean? Taking it, red-blue politics. Who gives a shit about that? But the point is yeah, I think that is the broader issue, is that... We've gotten to a point where we've been conditioned to no longer trust our own common sense on things.
Mm-hmm.
We have to trust what the government says. We have to trust what the scientists say. We have to trust what the victim says. You know, we can't have a independent opinion based on logic, reason, and our own personal experience.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it's like I posted the other day on Facebook, you know, people are telling me, what do you know about viruses? What do you know about contagions? You're just an IT guy. But by the same token, we're all looking to Bill Gates, fucking IT guy, to create a vaccine.
Yeah.
You know, it makes no sense. So really what they're telling you is just listen to the rich and powerful.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, but those are the people that are trying to hurt you, right?
But maybe, maybe not. We don't know.
But,
you know?
But those same people would say that, though. Like, that's the thing.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Like, in one aspect, it's like the media is lying. They know the media is lying.
And
you're manipulated constantly by the media, and you regurgitate their talking points to me like they're your own.
Right. Yeah. Let's you know, camp out to protest the 1%, but when they tell us something, we got to listen to it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Like, think for yourself.
Right.
Like, and realize that you're being lied to. Right. Again, here's the thing. When I say you're being lied to, the coronavirus thing is real.
Yes.
It's absolutely real.
Yes.
There are people that are dying from it.
Yes.
That is true as well.
Yes. It is not a hoax.
It is true. However, and this is from them. This is from them. They are classifying all patients that have the coronavirus that die as a Corona-19 or coronavirus-19 death, regardless of the cause. They're telling... one doctor will say this, the Dr. Deborah Bix, Burks, bitch that she is. I am past, like, I have hate and I don't like these people, and I hope at the end of the day that they go to jail for the fraud they've put upon the American people and for the damage they've done to the globe because of their ignorant bullshit. With that being said, they've come out and said that basically anybody that has any, that if you test positive for COVID-19, no matter what you die from, you're going to be considered a COVID-19 death. And then Fauci will say that there's a conspiracy theory that we're counting deaths that we shouldn't be counting.
Right, right.
Are you kidding me, you fucking piece of shit?
Yeah, in fact, we've got the CDC guidance on reporting COVID-19 deaths right here. And I'm quoting from the Center for Disease Control's guidance to state medical examiners. It is, quote, COVID-19 should be reported on the death certificate for all decedents, with deceased people, where the disease caused or is assumed to have caused or contributed to death. Certifiers should include as much detail as possible based on their knowledge of the case, medical records, laboratory testing. If the decedent had other chronic conditions such as COPD or asthma that may have also contributed, these conditions can be reported in part two. Now, it goes on to say that if they've been in contact with it, you can make the decision. So they don't even have to necessarily test positive for it. So if they're not doing a postmortem test to see if they have COVID-19 or COVID-19 antibodies, they still can be reported as that as the cause of death if they were known to be exposed to it. Again, it's not a bad thing, but it's a, it's one of those things that is, there are things that are being underreported, so
here's the thing. They're still having to get to the 60,000. They had to revise the number down even after they're calling everything Corona-19, a Corona-19 death. Even with the exaggerated death numbers,
right,
they still have to put the number down
exactly
to 60,000.
Yeah.
And again, we don't really have these stats just yet, but I'm really curious to see that during this time frame, where were the numbers down from? Because I know the numbers are down. Like, the numbers of people that have heart attacks that are down, the people that have, the normal flu, the deaths there are down. Like, the death numbers on all these other things are going to be down while this number goes up. Is it going to even out at the end of the day to where it was a wash?
Right.
Like, I don't know that number yet, and I don't want to claim that I do, but I got a sneaking suspicion that we're going to find out later on that the number of deaths wasn't even that much higher in the grand scheme of things. Like, it's probably going to be like a 15 to 20% increase in death year to year or something like that.
Over the flu?
Over the normal deaths.
Oh, you mean total deaths?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think you're right. I think it's going to level out because you got to remember that right now, and again, COVID-19 is killing people. Doubt about it.
That's true.
But we live in a country where 8,000 people die every day, period, end of story. So even at the peak of this virus where people are dying, what are we at? Did we cross the 1,000 a day threshold?
I don't know.
I think we did.
I think we did.
Okay. So, like, worst case scenario, at the peak of this thing, we're talking about a 25% increase, COVID-19 would be 25% of the normal deaths. But you also have to take into consideration that everybody being locked up, it's probably a net wash because there's a whole lot less car accidents. You have USAA, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I do too. And I just got the letter that said, guess what? We're reducing everyone's auto insurance rate by 20% this month. Why? Well, because there's been 20% less accidents because of the people on the road.
Yeah.
And since USAA is a membership club as opposed to a for-profit mm-hmm. corporation, they pass the savings on to their clients. So because there's less people on the road, there's less accidents, which means there's going to be less fatalities. So that's just one area where there's, less deaths right now because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if they hadn't completely destroyed the economy, there probably would have been more deaths, and there would also have been the normal number of deaths from, traffic fatalities and stuff like that. But the point is none of this was worth it. And yeah, they are going to be reporting deaths as COVID-19 that are not COVID-19.
They've admitted it.
Yeah.
This isn't a conspiracy theory. This is what they've admitted to.
Right.
They lied about the mask. This isn't a conspiracy theory. They did this. They've lied about the projections. They're using different words of like, well, we have to adjust the number down. Not that we lied or we were wrong. Like, they're not, and they're never wrong. Like, they're never wrong. Like, these they're wrong all the time.
Well,
the scientists are wrong constantly.
Here's the thing. They're also going to take credit for it.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, because of all the actions that you took. And that's the bullshit thing. So they go, well, because of the actions that you took, we got it down to 60,000.
Right.
Where before they said, even if you took all these actions,
it was going to be 300,000.
It wouldn't go below 100. Hold on. I'll use their best number that they used at the end, which was 100,000.
Right.
Before they used the 300,000 number too. You're right.
Right. Like, yeah.
Here's the thing. Dave, this is a flim flam. This is the flim flammiest flim flam.
Oh, yeah.
This is what it is. This is shenanigans. We should call shenanigans on the whole thing. Yeah. This is, and what they did was they destroyed a global economy because of the flim flam. People should be under the jail right now. Fauci should be arrested. BRICS should be arrested. And there should be, they should bring back the guillotine.
Well, here's the thing. There, civil unrest is coming. And it's coming soon. And you will see it. Again, last week I said probably 2 weeks before we start to see the beginnings of civil unrest. Now I'll go ahead and say civil unrest. Now I'll go ahead and say 1 week, because you're already seeing the open defiance. The only question is, what will be the target of the civil unrest? And my suspicion is that the American people are still pretty stupid, and they will say that the thing they get mad about is government not doing enough for them. You know, I think that's what the peasants with pitchforks will be out there demanding bigger checks from the government, instead of saying, you know, we need to just get rid of, you know, we need to tear down all the government buildings, you know, yeah. And everyone who is in government should be fleeing right now, you know. And that's what we should be doing. But unfortunately, I think that the American people are just too far down the idiocracy path that they're just going to ask for bigger and bigger and better government.
Yeah.
You know, because it's worked so well all these other many times that all we need to do is just keep trying.
And yeah. It's just, you know, they always have this thing is, you know, well, everybody's a socialist during a pandemic. And I'm like, you know what? Everybody's a libertarian during a pandemic.
No,
there's a lot more. No. I'm saying, they will get rid of the rules and get rid of all these other, they'll get, some of these people will get rid of rules in order to, you know, let people kind of try what they want to try and stuff like that.
What I see is government assuming they have powers that they absolutely do not, and nobody challenging on it. And if people do challenging on it, they using force against people to put them in cage without bail.
You are
for something that is absolutely not a law. So they just make up laws and then enforce them at will, randomly.
That is happening, but the other is happening as well. Like in some of these situations, like I got a friend of mine that owns a place down in Tarpon.
Right.
And they're talking, he's talking to the police on a pretty regular basis at this point. And the police are really not wanting to get in the middle. Like I think you're going to see more and more of them backing off of things,
right?
Because even they're starting to realize like what they're doing, and that they're wrong, that like they can't do this anymore, and so they're going to stop doing it. And you are getting, what you are getting is a lot of people that are snitching on one another. Like that's why I said snitches.
Fucking
get
oh,
I know. Like there's nothing. If I find out that person was I'm not doing business with that person. If I find out an establishment is calling other people, like you're scum. You're scum of the earth. You would have called your neighbor in Nazi Germany. Like you would have gone along with it.
Well, I hope we get to the point where all those snitches are stripped to their underwear and get their head shaved.
Yeah.
Like, you know, France after the collaborators.
Oh yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
Because that's really what I feel like.
Yeah.
I feel like those people are just, you know, oh God, the worst collaborators of all.
Oh, hold on. And I wanted to bring this part up too, about the media manipulation part, because you posted this story this week too, about the burials in New York City.
Oh, right.
Where they
were
doing mass grave burials.
Yeah. Well, first I saw this and, you know, mass graves in New York City. And I'm like, holy shit. You know, of course I had that reaction. And so I started reading the article. And there was like I read this whole article and it's reading like, oh my God, this is a unique event. It's never happened. And I get down to like the third paragraph from the end of the story. And they said, it's like a major increase from the normal amount of people they would normally bury there. And I thought, what? Wait, what? What?
What does that mean?
Yeah, what does that mean? So I started looking into it, and I realized that, okay, they have been burying people on this island in mass graves since at least the Civil War. You know, it's a potter's field, which if you don't know, and again, I learned this too. I didn't know any of this before I started looking into it. A potter's field is actually just the name of any public mass grave for poor people or bodies that go unclaimed, that don't have family, you know, no one to claim the body, no one to provide a funeral. The city, the state, the county, whatever, have an area where they take those people, and usually once a week or once a month, they bury all those people in a mass grave, you know, and that's been going on in every major city in America since America has existed. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those things that, you know, you realize has to happen, but you really don't think about it unless you need to. So I started looking into this. And yes, Hart Island, where they had the aerial footage of them, of prisoners putting bodies in mass graves. It turns out that since 1980, prisoners from Riker Island have buried over 60,000 people in mass graves on that island. They do it every Thursday. they literally bring 18-wheelers full of corpses out to that island on ferries, and they unload them and bury them in mass graves, and prisoners do it. It's like a work detail for prisoners for Rikers Island. There are over 1 million bodies already on that island. They've been doing it at that location since 1869, I think, is when they started there. Okay, so for 150 years they've been doing this. And the rumor that circulated that they were actually burying people in mass graves in New York City parks, well, a part of that island is managed by the New York City Parks Department, even though you can't go there. Yeah. You know, they don't let people go there. In order to go there, you have to have a relative or you know, a family member that was buried there, and you have to make an appointment to go there, and you can't actually go to the gravesite. You can only go to the little area that is managed by the Parks Department.
Yeah.
So when it came out, so you've got people reporting, the news reporting, you know, oh my God, here's aerial footage of mass graves in New York City. Well, yeah, they've been doing that forever. You could have had that same aerial footage 6 months ago, a year ago, 2 years ago, 10 years ago. It would have been exactly the same, you know. And so that's the kind of thing. It's just like you just can't trust it. And the media had to know that. And if they didn't know that, and they didn't report that, then they are really, really shitty journalists.
Yeah.
Okay. If they did know that and they reported it the way, with the angle they did anyway, they completely knew that they were sensationalizing a lot of bullshit. Now, granted, there are more people being buried in mass graves in New York City now than there were a month ago or a year ago or 10 years ago or 50 years ago. Yeah. There's a reason for that, too.
Yeah.
Okay. The reason is the same issue that everyone is having right now, that you know, we're having with Ledge. We're having with my aunt. My aunt just died, and they can't do anything with her. New York City funeral homes can't do funerals, okay? So what happens when someone dies of any cause right now, you can't have a funeral for that person. Plus, New York City morgues have said you have to pick up the body within 6 days. If you do not do something with the body within six days, we're going to take it to Hart Island and bury it in a mass grave. We're going to take your loved one, regardless of what your intentions are, regardless of whether they have family, regardless of whether you're a millionaire or a pauper, we're taking them to this mass grave. So what's happening is people are in a situation where they can't schedule a funeral. The funeral homes are working in, you know, weird kind of situation. They don't know what to do with the body. Nobody knows what to do. The laws are changing every day. So if that 6 days passes, now their loved one is getting buried in a mass grave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and government created the problem. And still, I don't think, even with the number of deaths in New York City, I still think the system can handle it. You know?
Yeah. They haven't broken capacity.
Yeah.
There was 20 people on the friggin' Navy ship that they brought over there.
Right. Yeah.
Like, it's the media, and again, you're either too stupid to be able to report the news, or you're evil because you're reporting it wrong, or because you're sensationalizing things that are normal activities. And that's the thing.
Right.
It's, if you were to say and sensationalize the number of flu deaths every year.
Oh God, it would be the same thing.
Then the same thing would happen.
Yes, we would be in the same
car accidents. Five more people died today. Or
now that's different. That's different. And I'll tell you why. That's different because everybody thinks they can control their own destiny with a car accident. whereas the virus is a no-name thing. So the car, and they do report car accidents all the time.
They do, but they don't. But they don't highlight it. Like, look, they report flu. Well, they don't report flu deaths a lot. But there's people that die. Like,
no, they don't report flu deaths.
Yeah,
like they do COVID-19. I mean,
definitely not.
Where was the last time you saw a counter for influenza deaths? And again, like in 2017, 60,000 people died from influenza in the U.S.
Yeah.
You know, and 60,000 people died from the flu in the U.S. in 2017, and we didn't say a word about it. Now, 60,000 people is what they're saying is going to die from COVID-19, and we've destroyed the entire world over it.
Yeah.
It's just, again, it's either the height of stupidity, which is a possibility. This could be the culmination of emotion over logic. Or it is, there is something very nefarious going on. But here's the thing. I can't imagine that if this is some grand conspiracy, that it works its tendrils all the way down to the lowly reporter at, you know, whatever, you know, the CNN or whatever that's writing a story. I don't think it could possibly extend that far.
I don't know.
So I think that's just all stupidity.
I think it's maybe a combo. It might be a combo of stupid and... Look, I think you have a lot of people that are taking a lot of advantage of situations. I think that the one thing is that whether they meant to do it or not, didn't mean to do it, I think you have a lot of people taking advantage of situations. Now, when it comes to the
Fauci... That's definitely true. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, to advance their own agendas. Like, yes. They're totally doing that.
That's
right now.
Probably more of
With
what it
Fauci
is.
With Fauci and the other woman, I think that they're stupid scientists. And again, I'm stupid scientists that think that what they're... Like, they're not taking into account the real damage that their opinion is causing.
Yeah.
Like, they think that, well, we just got to shut everything. Like, oh, we're never going to shake hands again. Like, what kind of a stupid freaking thing is that?
That could actually culturally go away. I think that was trending away anyway. So that I could see that actually happening.
Yeah.
Where handshakes go away. A lot of people, for years, a lot of people have been saying they don't like that. But that's like the most insignificant thing that's going to come out of this.
But no, but the thing about it is like with this Fauci guy, like they're wrong. They've been wrong and they're not ever held accountable for being wrong.
Right. Well,
and that's the part that pisses me off.
You know what pisses me off is when it's all over, they're going to take credit for it like Trump's already doing.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah, because of your great, because of all the hard work that you've done. That now
but you've done.
No, I'm saying because you talk about the people and your social distancing is working.
No, because of everything. If it's Trump talking, it's everything I've done.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right?
I gotcha.
Well, look, and this to me only highlights that I hate government and I hate the media and I hate all of it.
I do. And what's been worse on this one is I've lost faith in people. That was the one thing that used to always hold me together, was my faith in just the intelligence of the average man on the street. That, you know, I always felt like, you know what, Americans, they're hardy, they're rugged, they're smart, you know. So I used to say that, well, the reason that we haven't overthrown the government yet is just people are too busy getting on with their lives. Well, now we're in a situation where ain't nobody busy. Nobody's fucking busy. And in all honesty, even the first responders aren't busy. I've talked to a few this week, you know.
Oh, yeah.
They're not busy.
Oh, there's nurses that are being furloughed, by the way.
Right.
That's the other thing. But there's nurses being furloughed because they don't have any jobs for them to do because of the coronavirus, they canceled all elective surgeries.
Right.
So now the hospitals aren't making any money.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's the thing. It's... There may be a few hospitals in a few hotspots that are like having
extremely busy.
That are extremely busy and their ICUs are full, and I get that. But I can tell you that here in the Tampa Bay area,
that's not the case.
It is not even remotely the case. The hospitals are empty. And if you do the hashtag film your hospitals, you know, and look at people all around the country, hospitals are empty. People are going into hospitals filming, and there's like, you know, nurses standing around with empty waiting rooms because nobody is going to a hospital for, I was talking to a guy who works at one of the hospitals here locally in Pinellas County. He says, yeah, it's pretty dead. You know, there's nothing really going on. He says, we've got a few COVID cases, but nothing much, but nobody's coming in for anything else. So it's just dead.
Yeah, because they told them not to.
Yeah, and smart. I mean, honestly, the one one good thing that might come out of this is people might stop going to ERs when they have the sniffles or a slightly sprained ankle or something.
Yeah,
you know, that could help. That could help a lot with Medicare costs.
Well, and here's the thing too, like, or Medicaid. judge people based off of their actions. Many times, I'm sure you saw the article that, you know, because de Blasio was like telling people that not to go and, you know, to stay home and do all this other stuff and severe lockdown, right?
Right.
But he's going to the gym. So, like, it doesn't matter for him because he's going to go to the gym. The Chicago mayor.
Wow, I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, so he went to the gym. I mean, this was happened like maybe a week and a half ago or something like that.
Like, was it like a public gym or was it like his own gym? Was it his home gym?
I don't know which kind of gym it was, to be honest with you, though. I'll have to look.
Well, either way, it goes to show what privilege gives you, because either
has rules for thee, but not for me.
Yeah, either he has his own private gym, which nobody else has access to, or he is able to make it so that it opens just for him.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Well, and then you got the Chicago mayor, Lori Lightfoot. She defended getting a haircut despite the statewide stay-at-home order that shuttered salons and other non-essential businesses due to the pandemic. So she can go get her haircut.
Right.
But nobody else can go get their haircut.
Yeah, where did she go to get her haircut? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Exactly, because every salon in the state of Florida, including the one that my wife used to work at, is now closed, and she's out of business.
Yeah.
You know?
So
he's fucking
she basically was like, you know, the mayor actually became annoyed. You know what I mean? Like,
right. How dare you question me on that?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm the mayor.
I'm the public face of this city. I'm on national media and I'm out in the public eye.
Right, you know what?
So I'm a person who I take my personal hygiene very seriously. As I said, I felt I needed to have a haircut. I'm not able to do that myself, so I got a haircut. You want to talk more about that? Like, the thing is this, like, you don't even realize what a bitch you are.
Oh, yeah, no, she
like,
has
you don't
no
even
clue.
Realize that you well, shouldn't have done that because you've closed it down for everyone, you fucking cunt.
Well, one of the things that I actually do appreciate about her is she is probably the ugliest woman I've ever seen, so she is the perfect face for the city of Chicago.
Oh, she definitely is.
Yeah, because she personifies it.
Yeah, she ain't pretty. I can tell you that right now. And here's the thing. As ugly as she is on the outside, she's even way uglier on the inside.
Oh, yeah,
like, these people, again, it rules for thee, but not for me. Like, if you can't see, at this point, if you can't see, one, the utter hypocrisy of all of this, the fact that they're all lying to you, they're all in there, and again, in your face, lying to you, they don't care. Fuck them. Fuck them all. Stop staying at home with these stay-at-home orders.
Right.
Practice some personal safety. Not saying not to do that. But you know what, though? Start participating in fucking capitalism again, because we need to. Go out there and just go out. And
yeah.
You know what? Be defiant. Use your existence as defiance to this bullshit.
Yeah. I concur. I can't. I it's time to defy. Yeah.
I'm not staying. Look, I haven't been staying home the whole time anyway, but I'm definitely not. And I'm not putting a mask on. I'm not doing nothing. I'm going out and I am going to just, you know what? I'm going to live life.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. What if you die? Carpe diem. Seize the day. Liberty or death. Fuck you.
Yeah. Oh, I'm totally on board with that. Totally on board with that. At this point, I honestly, and again, it sounds like I'm suffering from depression. Maybe I am. But honestly, at this point, it's like I don't even give a shit anymore. You know, for what's coming, for what they're creating, for the world that they're building right now, I don't give a shit if I get it and die. You know, that might be a better outcome.
Here's the thing. I'm going to live. I'm going to live life. That's what I'm going to do.
Right.
I'm just going to live life and I'm going to go out there and I'm going to, you know what, though? What I am going to try to do is I'm going to try to be nice to people as best as I can, especially those that you can, when you talk to, that they're totally on board with you.
Yeah.
Like those people, I'm definitely going to just try to do things to be helpful to my fellow man in that aspect. But I will say this, the people that are, if I see you outside and you're wearing a mask on, I'm initially going to not talk to you if I don't have to. Like, cause I'm like, you know what? Piss off.
Right. Yeah.
And if you're that immunocompromised, stay home.
Right.
Stay home.
Yeah.
Like those people should stay home.
Don't be at Home Depot.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I was in Home Depot the other day, and you know, there was all kinds of people wearing gloves and masks.
Then don't go.
Don't go. What is at Home Depot that you need so bad? You're not a contractor. I'm looking at you. You're not a contractor.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
If you were, you wouldn't be wearing a mask.
Right. You need air filters? Order them on Amazon.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, again.
What do you need? Caulk?
If you're that concerned with it.
A 2x4?
I'm not saying that the coronavirus can't kill people, but if you're that concerned about it, then don't
go
out.
Stay the fuck home.
You're right.
Yeah.
Then you stay home.
And those are probably the same people that are out there at, you know, out there shopping, going on with their normal life, that are saying, oh yeah, these things should be shut down. Oh my God, why is that place open as we're driving by going out for, you know, all the other shit that we don't need? On our way to Walmart, we saw that there were a bunch of mom and pop shops still open.
Yeah.
You know what? Fuck you. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the guy living in the back of his shop, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's what you're causing.
Yeah.
That's what you're creating. You're destroying that guy's life. Me, my unemployed wife, you know, that's what you're causing. That's what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, and for nothing.
For nothing.
For 60,000 deaths, which is a slightly elevated flu season.
That's right. That's exactly what it is. It's like, well, you haven't seen them all yet. But we're not going to either. Right.
No.
We're not going to see them. Like, the curves are already going down now. So we actually have what the peak is and how it's going down. We already seen this. And yeah. You know what we've seen? Nothing. It's been a crap show. It's been a shit show the entire time. You've been lied to. They've already had to admit it. And that's what's called revising down. Remember, every time you hear the word revising down, lied to you. That's right. What it really means. And that's what they're doing. They are lying to you about this. And then they're counting everything. Trip and fall and had coronavirus, and trip and fall down a set of stairs and die because of a broken leg, coronavirus. You know what I mean? Get in a car accident, you had coronavirus. Like, it doesn't matter. They're going to count everything as the freaking coronavirus because they need all those numbers in order to actually match the 60,000 revised low number.
Well, hang on a second. I'm
asshole.
I'm going to actually dispute you there because I honestly don't think that they're attributing coronavirus to, like, you know, accidental death and blunt trauma and things like that. They're not doing that. But if there's like any, like, for example, if someone had, COPD, horrendous COPD and all kinds of other ailments, you know, so they had three or four ailments that, like, and they were 80. So chances are, you know,
if you're 80 or above, you died because you were old.
Right. But if you were in contact with coronavirus, the cause of death is going to be coronavirus. Even though you were old and you had all these other diseases, they're going to say it was coronavirus. So the numbers that they're coming out
with.
I was
being a little hyperbolic.
That was a little hyperbolic, but some people.
Not that hyperbolic.
It's not that far off. But some people are actually believe that, you know, yeah, if they're treating like suicides and gunshot wounds as coronavirus, they're not doing that.
Yeah.
But they.
Not yet.
But if.
You wait until they can't get to that 60 number. They're going to start counting those too.
They might.
Like, we got to pump these numbers up, man. These are rookie numbers.
Yeah, they might be digging up corpses looking for antibodies. So, yeah. Does this one have antibodies? Okay, flag that.
You know, that one was buried near another guy that had coronavirus. We can count them both.
Right.
Every mass grave.
Yeah.
I got some people that put in some mass graves, by the way, at this point.
Yeah.
You know what it is? I am angrily defiant at this point.
Well, that's good. That's good. Actually, you're kind of cheering me up by being so angry and defiant.
Oh, here's the thing. I'm not stopping anything. I'm going to continue to go on,
but
I'm going to just... I'm lucky enough right now that I'm doing one thing that, one, the not stopping, and two, everybody's using.
Well, the one thing that none of us can control is what they've already done to the economy. There's going to be starving people here very, very soon.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be homeless camps and, you know, bread lines. I mean, the bread lines are already starting.
Yeah.
The food lines, you know, you set up a food bank right now and you got a 5-mile car line.
Yeah.
You know, actually out on I-4 the other day, I saw a tent city developing under one of the overpasses, you know. It's going to get real, real bad. And there's nothing you can do. 52.
You know,
a little inside baseball there.
I gotcha. So here's one thing I do want to say, though. This is the time frame that you need to, how can I say this the right way? You need to lift up your fellow man when and where you can and help other people as best as you can.
Or shoot them. It depends on the situation. It depends on the fellow man. Now's a good time to either help or shoot.
But right now, you need to also have situational awareness, be aware of your surroundings, but also to make sure that you're helping people, because there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be really in a bad way mentally right now, that by you saying something nice or by doing something nice for them could be the difference in their day. And I just think that humanity is going to be going through a rough patch here for a while. And it's on us, of people that are aware of the situation, have some situational awareness, are present, to try to help out our fellow man to be, and I want to say to be leaders. It's not really the right word to use, but to exhibit leadership qualities to help your fellow man in this time.
All I know is I'm going to a food pantry in Loving, Texas.
Okay, I don't even know what that means.
I know you don't.
Okay, are you going to explain it or no?
No, there's a couple of listeners that will get that.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Well, so that's so inside baseball that I'm not even privy to how inside baseball that is.
Because you haven't read my book.
Oh, because it's the book thing. Yeah. Huh? A lot of people are reading the book now.
I know. Actually, the book sales are up.
Oh, are they?
Oh, people are texting me every day. I had someone text or message me a couple days ago and said, I just got your book. I'm on chapter 5, and I've been crying the whole time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Because it's that close.
Yeah. It's,
do you have any more copies of the book?
No, I really don't.
How do you buy them in bulk?
Well, I guess I can actually buy them in bulk for myself.
Yeah.
And yeah, I can do that, but it, you know.
All why? Right. Well, here's the thing. I'm going to give you some money. I want you to buy them in bulk.
I'm not going to buy any more books for you until you read it.
I'm going to give them out to the listen to people new signers.
No. Until you actually read the book. No, you don't get to give them out as gifts.
Yeah. Okay.
As I'm sick and tired. When's the last time you read a book?
It's been a little bit.
Yeah, a decade.
No. I read a book last year.
Really? What book was that?
Don't Talk to the Cops.
Oh yeah, you told me about that. I think that was a pamphlet.
No, it was a book.
It was a flyer.
It was a book.
I'm pretty sure it was a flyer.
It was a book.
Yeah. It literally just said, don't talk to the cops. That was all it was.
I mean, don't get me wrong. You give a whole bunch of different stories as to why you don't talk to the cops, but you could have just made one page and kind of, like, you could have streamlined it a little bit by making it one page.
Yeah, Goodnight Moon is a longer book than that.
Here's a pamphlet of famous Jewish sports athletes.
Italian war heroes.
Oh man. All right, so but no, here's the thing. Find out how much it is for me so I can get some of the books, by the way.
Okay.
Because what I'm gonna do is we'll do it as a special. So anybody that signs up will get a book. We'll do the book thing.
Okay.
No matter what your level is, you get a free copy of the Cassandra Trigger.
As soon as you let me know when you finish reading it.
All right. I'll have to start reading the book now. I don't have a lot of time. I'm always out doing things.
Oh, bullshit.
I'm very busy. Very busy man. Very busy.
So, I heard you made like a big bank this week delivering food.
Last week, I made $850.
That's a pretty
just
good...
Just driving around.
You know, for a gig economy job, that sounds like a lot of money. I don't know. Is that like... How much is that compared to what you'd normally make?
Doing it? Well, it depends on the time, too. So, I mean, it's definitely... No, it's definitely good. Here's the thing. It's definitely good, and I was doing it out of Hernando County the entire week.
Yeah.
So like that part of it was awesome. Is that
I never get to go.
Yeah, I never get to stay at my house and do it. I was home I was home most of the time. Like if I'm not going out and doing it, then I was you know there, and I'm advertising for the business. I mean, we're still getting clients.
Right.
You know, for the home cleaning business, we're still getting clients.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I love driving that thing. I got to tell you, I love doing that. Like, I really do love doing it.
I know you talk about it every week. You love your little smart car.
I do. I thoroughly enjoy it.
Yeah, it's... Well,
people are always happy when you're bringing them food. People are always happy when you're bringing them food.
Okay, well, this is what I want to know. So this past week, what percentage were drop at the door and step back?
60.
60?
Yes, I'd say 60.
Okay.
It's 60-40.
And the 40, were they like, hey, man, what's up? Nothing? Didn't care about anything? Or were they still kind of like hesitant?
The vast majority didn't give a crap.
Of the 40?
Of the 40. Vast majority of the 40 didn't give a crap. Okay. Some of the people did care, but it could also be chalked up. Because you got to remember, some of these things are at like 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock at night, and it's a woman. So I don't put the coronavirus as the hesitance on that one. I put the fact that you're probably alone and a dude's delivering food to your house late at night.
Yeah, and you're kind of a sketchy looking dude anyway.
No, I'm definitely not a sketchy looking dude.
I mean, if I saw you,
I'm definitely a good looking dude that is dressed very nice.
If I saw you at my door at 10 o'clock at night, I'm getting, well.
If I had a gun, I would get it.
But since I don't have a gun, I'd get my lacrosse stick.
My lacrosse stick.
Yeah.
But. No. Some of the women at night are a little, have been hesitant, but I think that has little to do with that.
Okay, well, what I'm trying to gauge is what percentage of people actually are afraid of the virus? And you say it's probably 60 and 40, let's say, you know, a third. Let's play it safe and say a third of the people don't care.
I think that's a safe number right now. I think at least a third... It's just tough to gauge because like some of those people are doing it at the door thing because they just don't want to be like, they don't want to see somebody. Like, they, not because of the coronavirus either. Like, you always had a certain percentage that were just leaving the door anyway.
Oh, did you really?
Oh, yeah. You had you had about, okay, your normal was about 20% was leaving the door.
Oh, okay.
That was the normal.
Okay, so that's your baseline.
So now it's, but 60 is where we're at now.
Oh, well, okay. But well, now, it, but that means it's basically 50-50 between the people. Because once you take out that initial 20 that's just introverts and don't want to see anyone anyway,
yeah,
then it's pretty much 50-50. So about half the people that normally would have would open the door don't now.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. In situations like this, I always look for anecdotes, because one anecdote doesn't tell you anything, but if you can build a pattern of anecdotes, then it can tell you what's really, you know, kind of basically going on in the world. You know what I'm saying? Because if you, like the hospitals things,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? If you watch the news, your impression that literally every hospital in America is overwhelmed and there's tents outside. But if you talk to enough people who are actually in the business, you realize, no, most hospitals are dead. There's a handful that are busy and overwhelmed, but, you know, those are the extreme exception. And even those aren't as overwhelmed as they say. Like, you know, you have people going and videotaping these hospitals in New York that are supposedly completely overwhelmed. And I have no idea. I have no doubt that their ICUs are full.
Yeah.
But you go in those tents outside, those tents are completely empty.
Oh, yeah.
Those tents are just up there. Well, let's put them up just in case.
Well,
or for show. Who knows?
Here's the
thing.
Maybe
they're just for show.
I think what you're seeing is, based off of what Fauci and the BRICS chick said,
right,
that they've, and what the number, and again, they didn't know. So they basing it off of what
they prepared
the
number
that they were
more.
Preparing.
Yeah.
And they prepared for that. And they were worried because they felt like they couldn't meet the prepared level.
Right.
But I think you have a combination of that and then also trying to gain it for a political advantage to where
right.
you
oh,
can,
yeah.
you know, you can say, oh, look at how, you know, we can't get the number of ventilators that we need. So this is their fault that we can't get these ventilators.
Oh, yeah,
but in all reality, they don't need the extra ventilators. They never needed the extra ventilators.
Well, but still, they're going to continue to use it as a talking point for red team, blue team politics.
And that's yeah. what all sides are doing right now.
And to get money. Everybody's doing it to get money. Where can they distribute the money? Because there's free money well, everywhere and everybody's trying to get their hands
well,
on
and
it.
Now the other thing that they're saying with this, with the extra stuff that they're built, the ventilators that they're having done now and they're having made now, is that they're going to put them back in the stockpile.
Like right.
you're building now for the next stockpile.
Well,
which don't get me wrong. Look, again, if it's this is so.
Hang on, we're at the hour, so let's go ahead and break there.
Okay.
And if you want to, because we got a lot more to talk about. There's a lot we still haven't touched on. So if you want to hear more about this, you want to hear our take on it, you want to hear our ranting and lunacy, which some people will think we're engaged in. Go to patreon.com and patreon.com/unattendedbaggage. That's patreon.com/unattendedbaggage. Sign up for to be a subscriber, to be a patron, and you'll get all the swag. Even if you only sign up at the $2 level, you still get all the swag, the full package. We'll see you hour number two.